Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Go back and visit an old friend of ours, back pain. You found a somewhat interesting article. This is actually a Cochrane Review. Just to put this in a little bit of context, as I always try to do, we all know back pain is common. It's one of the leading conditions that brings patients to doctors. Most cases of back pain are musculoskeletal. Some sort of degenerative change is also common. The differential diagnosis, though, unfortunately, is huge, and it includes some bad things like cancer and infections. There are huge variations, both geographically and across specialties, in how we use pain medications, how we use physical therapy, injections, and surgery. The evidence suggests that we tend to overuse imaging studies and perhaps surgery for back pain, at least in the United States. And some have charged that's led to a medicalization of really what's just a sore back and making it much more serious than it is. Listeners will also know that the prognosis for back pain is excellent. Just two sets of statistics here. About one-third of patients with back pain seek medical care. So that suggests that two-thirds don't, which suggests that they get better on their own. The second statistic is that up to about 90% of patients who are seen within 3 days will recover within 2 weeks. So this is something that clearly most patients will get better despite what we do, not because of what we do. Nonetheless, all of these statistics suggest that there are some patients who have chronic back pain, and this can be extremely debilitating and perhaps even depressing. And there are lots of ways to treat that. So you found a Cochrane review. It was published in the journal Spine in 2014. It's in volume 39, starts on page 556. It helps us to answer the question, are opioids effective in the treatment of chronic low back pain? Mark, what did the Cochrane review find?
Yeah, this is an example of a review that, more than telling us what we know, it really seems to highlight what we don't know about treatment of chronic back pain. So this is an update to a Cochrane review that was originally published in 2007, so they like to go back every few years and update them. And they did the usual very careful Cochrane search of multiple databases. They only included randomized controlled trials. All the studies had to at least mask the people who assessed the outcomes to the treatment assignment, so they didn't know whether the patient had gotten the active drug or placebo. And each of the studies had to at least evaluate pain or function or global improvement, key patient-oriented outcomes. They found overall 15 studies with about 5,500 participants. Most of the trials had low to moderate quality. They had fairly high dropout rates, which makes you concerned about the validity of the answer you get. They were fairly short duration. There weren't very many long duration studies. And they really didn't, they focused more on pain and global improvement, not so much on function, which is a really important component of the impact of chronic pain. Six studies looked at tramadol. Two studies looked at buprenorphine, and seven looked at strong opioids, which they defined as morphine, oxymorphone, hydromorphone, oxycodone. Of the seven trials of strong opioids, though, three really weren't designed to look at efficacy. They were looking at other outcomes, for example, like potential harms. Overall, 12 of the studies were at low risk of bias, which is good. You know, they set the bar pretty high when they finally to look for these studies, so they ended up including only higher quality studies. The five studies of tramadol found that were a little more methodologically problematic. They did show greater overall pain relief than placebo with the tramadol and greater improvement in functional outcomes than placebo. The studies of buprenorphine, they found very low quality evidence that the agent reduces pain more than placebo and really that it does anything for function. Studies of the strong opioids found small reductions in pain, small improvements in function. You know, so overall, for patients with chronic low back pain, the opioids are moderately more effective than placebo. Data for long-term use of these strong opioids really is pretty much non-existent, at least high-quality studies. The long-term use of these drugs is controversial, frankly. And, you know, physicians are being asked to provide comfort for their patients, yet the regulatory concerns, safety concerns, legal issues of long-term use are a counterpoint to that and provide a real challenge.
You raise some important points. I suspect that some of these, at least, were industry-sponsored trials as well. The other thing that you don't point out is the side effects, both side effects for the person, and probably most of them are in the GI system, but also perhaps some of the side effects for people that are driving and operating machinery and things that may be on some of these higher potency opioids.
Yeah. And I've had, you know, I think many of us have had experiences working, you know, having to deal with these challenges with patients. And in particular, when I worked in a rural Georgia county, it was a real problem because it so many of the patients were on long-term high doses of opiates when I joined the practice. And it really got in the way of the physician-patient relationship. You know, I wanted to focus on depression, on substance abuse, on their hypertension, their diabetes. And the patient's agenda all too often was, give me my pain meds. And so it creates a really uncomfortable dynamic as well that I think can get in the way of good relationship, good care. And I think this does point out the need that we need some good quality long-term studies of chronic opiates to figure out, you know, who does benefit, how much do they benefit, what are the best drugs and combinations.
Yeah, I suspect there's not a single listener who hasn't been involved in the kinds of discussions that you're having you've outlined. I just wonder, though, always when I'm with these folks, you know, the underlying problems are the ones that you've talked about, substance abuse and depression and anxiety and the like. But I've always been amazed at what we're really fighting about often are drugs that I just can't imagine give the person much of a high, particularly after they've been on them, you know, for chronic periods of time, months. You know, I don't get it. Perhaps it's a dependence, a psychological dependence, more than it is a physiologic dependence or an enjoyment.
That's a good point.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.